Now, this is a description that clearly comes out of a time and a context when the audience for the Homeric poems in the 8th century is thinking about how wonderful it would be to go to a land where there was rich soil just ripe for the plucking. It is like the opening up of the West in this country's history. So colonization left a big imprint on the Greeks, both as they contemplated the relative poverty of their own land and as they thought of how much was waiting for them if only they could sail out into the great unknown of the Mediterranean. There was another factor that played an important role here, and I think one that we have to bring out. You remember that in an earlier lecture I talked about the rise of the polis. And I emphasized that in the 8th century, around the same time that colonization is going on, smaller communities are growing into larger communities. Individual households are giving way, to larger communities of towns and even proto-cities, city-states, the polis. Now, I want you to think for a moment about some of the problems that that may create for the people of the Greek world. If you live in an oikos, authority is clear. The head of the household is the law, whether it be the clan leader or, if he's gone, his son. But what happens when two or three or four or a dozen households all have amalgamated, living close together, forming a small town? What happens then is that authority and justice are no longer a matter of the simple dictates handed down by the head of the household. These are issues that must be negotiated between heads of households. The first problem that faces a community larger than a tribe is that it should find institutions for justice. Now, I told you a story a moment ago about God giving the Greeks rocks. There is another expression or another story I was told in Greece, and that is that when you have six Greeks in a room, you have 12 opinions. In these early communities, there was a great deal of friction because as these families and these households are rubbing up against each other, these communities are trying to work out where does justice lie? Who has the sanction of authority who can determine and give a judgment in a legal case? If my brother and I dispute over something, we can go to our father and he'll settle it. But when my neighbour and I dispute over it, what is the mechanism by which we can determine whether that land is mine or whether that land is his? So that we find in the 8th century and through into the 7th and later into the 6th as well, that the birth of the city-state came with a great deal of pain. And this is a pain that the Greeks called stasis. It means conflict, and it is virtually a continual and ever-present condition in the Greek city-state in its early history. People, quite simply, are endlessly fighting with each other. They are like the Montagues and the Capulets of Romeo and Juliet, great clans with their various retainers and their loyalties, beating each other up every time they happen to meet in a public space. How does this link up with colonization? Well, I would argue, and many have argued before me, that in the conditions of stasis, of conflict, which prevailed in the early world of the city-state, colonization is a safety valve. It is a way of siphoning off some of that troublesome population. It is a way, quite simply, of getting some of your young men off the streets and out into a whole new world, a new colony that's set up for them elsewhere. So for a variety of reasons then, involving both the land, involving both the ownership of land and the emergence of these new cities and new city-states, the Greeks for many reasons then find it agreeable to be sailing out from Greece and looking for new land for their colonies. A single city would provide the founder of the colony, known as the oikist, the father figure, if you will, for the whole colony. But of course, colonies could be made up of a mixture of Greeks from different parts of the Greek world. A mother city, might announce that it was going to send out a colony, and people would pour in from different parts of the Greek world to the mother city and take part in this new foundation. So we end up with what originate as polyglot communities from all over the Greek world, which then have a foundation myth, a charter from the Delphic Oracle, which gives them a kind of common identity, so that instead of being people from Thessaly and people from the Peloponnese and people from Argos and people from Arcadia, they end up in Italy as Syracusans or Tarentines or whatever other identity they choose to have.